We head back up the beach, and when we get to the car, Ramona hands me my clothes. By the time I get out of the toilet, she's changed into a white sundress, headscarf, and shades that conceal her eyes. She's unrecognizable as the naked blonde from the beach. "Let's go," she suggests, turning the ignition key. I belt in beside her and she guns the engine, backing out of the parking lot in a spray of sand. Ramona drives carefully along the coast road, back towards the west end of the island and the hotels and casinos. I slump down in the passenger seat and check my email as soon as we get adequate cell phone coverage. All that's waiting for me are two administrative circulars from the office, an almost plaintive request for a sit rep from Angleton, and an interesting business proposition from the widow of the former president of Nigeria. I briefly consider replying to the latter in the person of a highly placed agent of a secret British government agency, but the last time I did that, Tony from Internal Security called me into his office and waxed sarcastic for almost half an hour before ordering me to give them back their bank. Ramona doesn't seem to be in a talkative mood right now, and I'm not sure I want to risk upsetting her by asking why. Eventually, as we're entering Philipsburg, she nods to herself and begins talking.
"You'll want to report in to your support team."
She downshifts a gear and the engine growls.
"Keep your station chief off your back. Pick up the toys your tech guys have been unpacking and call home."
"Yes. So?" I study the roadside. Pedestrians in bright summer holiday gear, locals in casuals, rickshaws, parked cars. Heat and dust.
"Just saying."
We're crawling along.
"Then I figure we need to meet up late afternoon to go sort out your invitation to the floating party aboard the Mabuza."
Late afternoon. A stab of guilt gets to me. It's about 6 o'clock back home and I really ought to call Mo. I've got to reassure her that everything's under control and make sure she doesn't do something stupid like drop everything and come out here. Assuming everything is under control, a quiet corner of my conscience reminds me. If you were Mo and you knew what was going on, what would you do?
"You sound very certain that I'll get an invite," I speculate. "Oh, I don't think it'll be too difficult."
Ramona focuses on the road ahead.
"You already got Billington's attention yesterday. After today, he'll want another look at you."
She looks pensive.
"Just in case, I've got some ideas. We can go over them later."
I steel myself.
"I get the feeling you're trying very hard not to tell me something that's not related to the mission," I begin.
"And you know I know, but I don't know what I'm not supposed to know, and so..." I wind down, trying to keep track of all the double indirect pointers and Boolean operators before I succumb to a stack crash.
"Not your problem, monkey boy,"
she says with a false smile and a toss of her beautiful blonde hair, now coiling up into tight ringlets as the seawater dries in the breeze over the windscreen.
"Don't worry yourself about me."
"What?" My skin crawls. She looks at me, her eyes abruptly distant and hard.
"You just have to get aboard the yacht, figure out what's going on, and expedite a solution," she tells me. "I've got to sit it out back here."
"But..." I shut my mouth before I can stick any of my feet in it by accident. Then I point my head forwards, watching her out of the corner of my eye. Thin-lipped and grim-faced, knuckles gripping the steering wheel. The mermaid who clutched me to her watery bosom is frightened. Ramona, who plays with her food and never slept with a man who didn't die within 24 hours, is concerned. Driving me back to the hotel and the safe house and a setup where she'll have to hand me over to people she seems to despise. Ramona, the spy who loves me? No, that dog won't hunt. It must be something else, but whatever it is, she isn't talking. So we drive the rest of the way to the hotel in lonely silence, grappling with our respective demons.